B'siyata d'shmai, we're going to learn Shabbos Daf Lamed. We're going to start three lines from the bottom of Daf Chof Tes Amud Beis. Says the Mishnah, Hamechabe es haneir, if somebody extinguishes a candle, a light, mipnei shehu misyori, because he's afraid, mipnei nochrim, because of goyim, people who are going to endanger him, umipnei listim, or he's afraid of thieves and robbers, mipnei ruach ra, or because of some emotional anguish, and when he's seen, when he's in the light, he gets troubled. That's called the ruach ra. Or mipnei achoile sheyishon, or we extinguish the light in order that a sick person should be able to sleep. Potur, he is potur. Continues the Mishnah, kechos al haneir, if somebody is trying to save on the oil, on the candle, or kechos al hashemen, he's trying to save on the oil. Kechos al hapsilo, is trying to save some of the wick, and therefore he extinguishes the candle. Chayev, he's chayev. One of the lamates melachos, the 39 isurim of melachos on Shabbos, is not to extinguish a fire. Rabbi Yosi poiter bekulon. Rabbi Yosi says that he's potur if he does all of these, if he extinguishes the candle, chutz min hapsilo, unless the reason that he's extinguishing it is because he's kechos al hapsilo. He's trying to save the psila, mipneishu oise pechom, because he wants the psila, the wick, to be charcoal. And since he wants the extinguishing, with all the other cases, it's not as much as he wants the extinguishing as if he wants the result. I want to save the oil. I want to save the candle. I want to save what I want to gain. What I want to gain, but not that I have a direct need for the extinguishing. The maisa, the act of extinguishing, is just a means by which I can get to where I need to get to, but not that I have a need in the extinguishing. Unless you're trying to make charcoal, that the concept of charcoal is an extinguished light, and therefore it's a melacha which is shetzricha legufa. It's a melacha that you intended, and a melacha where when you do the melacha, you wanted the melacha, you didn't want just some side benefit of the melacha, and therefore, in that case, even according to Rabbi Yosi, he will be chayev. Says the Gemara, Midiktoni Seifa chayev, since we saw in the second half of the Mishnah that kechos al hanir, kechos al hashem, and kechos al hapsila, he's chayev, even though in those cases it's a melacha she'eino tzricha legufa. He's trying to save oil. He doesn't need the act of extinguishing, he just doesn't want the fire to consume all the oil. That's called an act of extinguishing, which is eino tzricha legufa. I don't need the extinguishing. And nonetheless, it says chayev. So it must be Shema Mino Rabbi Yehuda hi. It must be Rabbi Yehuda who says that a melacha she'eino tzricha legufa is chayev on Shabbos. If it's Rabbi Yehuda, let's now understand the beginning of the Mishnah, Reisha. The beginning of the Mishnah, somebody extinguishes a light because he's afraid of thieves, of goyim, of ruach ra, of choyle. What's that talking about? Because in the Mishnah says he's potter. It may be osur, we'll soon see. But it doesn't say chayev. Let's see, if it's Rabbi Yehuda, we're going to have a problem. Why is he not chayev? Says the Gemara, b'mayoskinon, what's it talking about? Ibachoyle sheyesh boi sakona, if we're talking about a choyle, that yesh boi sakona is a very dangerously ill choyle, and we must extinguish the lamp in order to protect his life, then why does it say potur? Mutar mi boile. It should say that it's mutar, of course you have to, it's a mitzvah to switch off the light. V'ibachoyle sheein boi sakona, if it's a choyle, an ill person who's not in danger, chayev chatos mi boile. Why do you only say potur? That if he does it, he's potur, and that could mean that it's osa, but he's not chayev chatos. If it's Rabbi Yehuda, according to Rabbi Yehuda, melacha she'ein tzricha legufa is chayev chatos. Says the Gemara, lo'ilam b'choyle sheyesh bo sakana. The truth is, it's talking about the choyle sheyesh bo sakana. He's in danger, and in order to protect his life, we have to extinguish the candle. Ubedinhu, and the truth is, the listni mutter, it should have said mutter, not only potter. V'aydi deboy lemisna seifa chayev, but just since the formula, the text we used, the psak in the seifa, is chayev, in Toninami Reisha Potter, so in contrast to Chayev, you say the opposite of Chayev is Potter. But in truth, not only is it Potter, it's even Mutter. Continues the Gemara. V'hod etoni Rabbi Ishia. This that Rabbi Ishia said in a brisa, im bishvil ha'chile sheyishon lo yichabe. If you need a sick person who needs to go to sleep and you need to extinguish a candle, you should not extinguish it. So it's clearly talking about a chayle she'ein bo isakona. If it's a chayle she'esh bo isakona, of course it's a mutter, it's a chiyuv to extinguish the candle. And nonetheless, continues the brisa, v'im kova, and if you extinguished it, potur aval osa. It says explicitly, doesn't say mutter, it says potur, but it's osa. Why should it be osa? If it's locha she'ein etzricha legufa, according to Rabbi Yehuda, is chayev, he should be chayev. Hahi b'chayle she'ein bo isakona. Of course, we're talking about a chayle she'ein bo isakona, because otherwise you wouldn't say lo yichabe. Reb Shimon, he must be following Reb Shimon, who says that melacha she'ein etzricha legufa is potur, not chayev, not like Reb Yehuda. And of course, even though the Gemara spoke now about if a chayle is yesh bo isakona or ein bo isakona, it's not necessarily chayle. Chayle was just one of the cases mentioned in the Reisha of the Mishnah. So too, regarding somebody who's afraid of the goyim or somebody who's afraid of thieves and ruach ra, if it's a danger, if it's yesh bo isakona, it has the halachas of chayle sheyesh bo isakona. If it's not danger to life, then it's got the halachas of chayle she'ein bo isakona. Continues the Gemara. Sha'il sha'ila zu le'elo mirav tanchim demin noi. The following question was asked before of Tanchim from a place called Noi. Mahu lechabois beitzino denura. What's the halacha? Are you allowed to extinguish a candle, a light, mikame ba'isha, in order to help a dangerously sick person, a chayle sheyesh bo isakona, and extinguishing the light will help him, will protect him? B'shabbat, are you allowed to extinguish the light on Shabbos? This is the end of the question. The truth is, it's poshut that you're allowed to and you have to extinguish the light, and we learn this out from other places in Shas, that pikuach nefesh is doichar kol ha'teira kula, of course you have to do it, and the Meforoshim have a discussion here, what was the question bichlal? Now what's the answer? Now, not so typical for the Gemaras, the answer is not here. We're going to see the answer only on Daf Lamed Omid Beis, where the Gemara is going to come to exactly that conclusion, that of course you can extinguish the candle, and you have to extinguish the candle, and the Gemara is not going to say it in the typical Lomdus that v'chai bohem, life comes first, and you have to switch it off because of pikuach nefesh. The Gemara is going to say that a candle is called neir, and a neshama is called neir, and would rather extinguish a physical candle rather than extinguish chas v'shalom a neshama of a person and cause him to die. So the maskona, the conclusion, is going to be exactly that halacha, that it's pikuach nefesh, and you have to extinguish the candle. Now, in the meantime, the Gemara is going to go on a very long journey of agadatas, not halacha, on all sorts of different interesting inyonim, and Rashi explains that this question was obviously asked in the company where lay people and working people and people who are not Talmidei Chachamim, and they needed to be drawn into Torah, and the way to do that is not only to discuss the halacha, but to bring in agadus as well. So he started with a lengthy discussion in Agoda, and even the answer to the question he's going to answer in the context of Agoda, that this is called Neir, and this is called Neir, just in order to draw the people close to Torah, but that's going to be the halacha, and then the Gemara is going to continue after that with more Agadatas. So let's start learning the Agadatas. Posach v'omar. This Rav Tanchim Dumin Noi, before he answered the question, he opened up the discussion, the drasha, with the following. Ant Shleima, you Shleima HaMelech, on Chochmoscha, where is your Chochma, your wisdom? On Such Lesanusach, where is your understanding? Loidayach Shedvarecha Soisrim Divrei David Avicha, not only does it seem that the words that you wrote seem to contradict those of your father David HaMelech, we even find that you are contradicting yourself from something you yourself have said. And he's going to explain. David Avicha Omar. What did David HaMelech say in Tehillim? Lo yehameisim yehaleluka. The dead cannot praise Hashem. Which seems to be saying that there's a virtue of being alive over being dead. Vat Omrus. And yet you, Shleim HaMelech, have said, V'shabeach anias ameisim shekva ameisu. I praise the dead who have already died more than the living who still live. So it seems that you're giving virtue and there's something more about those who are not alive than those who are alive. V'chozarto v'omarto, and you, Shleim HaMelech, yourself said elsewhere, Ki lakelev chai hu toiv min ariyah hames. A live dog is better than a dead lion. So you see that being alive is better than being dead. And this seems to contradict what you just said, that b'shabeach anies hamesim shekvar mesu. Says the Gemara, loy kasha. We can explain the contradictions. Hoduk oma David loy hamesim yahaluluka. This that David HaMelech said, that the dead cannot praise you, Hochi Ka'oma, this is what he meant to say. Lo'oi lom yasek odom b'teiro b'mitzvahis koidim sheyomus. A person should do everything he can to be involved and engage himself in Torah learning and doing mitzvahs before he dies. Shekiven shemeis, because once he dies, botel min ha-teiro min ha-mitzvahs, he can no longer do Torah and mitzvahs. Ve'ein lach kodesh baruch hu shevach boy, and from that point on, when a person dies, Hashem no longer derives any honor from a person. So that's what it means when David HaMelech said, loy ha-meisim yihaluluka. V'hainu domer, b'yechanon, and this is the same as what b'yechanon said, ma'idach siv, when it says in the pasuk, v'ha-meisim chofshi, that I will be free when I'm amongst the dead, which means that the dead are free. What does it mean? Kivan shemeis odom, after a person dies, nase chofshi min ha-teiro min ha-mitzvahis, he is, so to speak, free from Torah and mitzvahs. He can no longer learn Torah and do mitzvahs. Udukoma Shleima, and this that Shleima Melech said, V'shabeach anies ha-meisim shekva ha-meisu, that there's a certain virtue, a certain praise for the dead, who have already died beyond and more than those who are still alive. What does that mean? So he explains as follows. Shekashechotu Yisrael b'midbar, when Klal Yisrael did the eagle, the golden calf, in the midbar, Omad Moshe lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Moshe Rabbeinu stood in front of Hashem, v'omar kamo tfilois v'tachnunim lefonov, and he said many tfilois to Hashem. V'leinane, and he did not get answered. But when Moshe Rabbeinu said, Zochir l'Avram l'Yitzchok l'Yisrael l'Avodecho, remember for the sake of Avram, Yitzchok and Yaakov, the holy Avos, Miyad Neno, Hashem immediately answered Moshe Rabbeinu and said, I will not destroy Klal Yisrael. V'lo yofa'om ha-shleima? So is it not correct what Shleima Melech said, that v'shabeach anies ha-meisim shekva ha-meisu, that the tzaddikim who have already passed away can reach higher levels even than those who are still alive? There may not have been a tzaddik alive as great as Moshe Rabbeinu, but what Avraham, Yitzchak and Yaakov managed to achieve after they passed away is beyond what Moshe Rabbeinu could achieve when he was alive. Dov achir, an alternative explanation. Minhagoy shel olam, sar bos of adam geizer gzeira. The ways of the world are that when a ruler of flesh and blood, a human being, issues a decree, sofik mekaimin oisa, then the people who he's decreeing against, they may listen to him, they may not. Sofik ein mekaimin oisa, they might not fulfill his decree. Vim tim tzoleima mekaimin oisa, and even if they do fulfill the decree, B'chayov mekayimin oisoi, there's a good chance that they'll fulfill the decree whilst the king is alive. B'moisoi, ein mekayimin oisoi, but after the ruler dies, they will not continue to fulfill the decree. V'ilu Moshe Rabbeinu, however, in contrast to that, regarding Moshe Rabbeinu, gozar kama gzeiris, he issued a number of decrees, v'tikin tamot kamot konis, and he made a number of takonis, and they are still standing firmly in place as they were then for all generations for eternity. So is Shleima not right to say that there's a certain praise for the dead, referring to Moshe Rabbeinu, who is no longer alive, and look how his decrees are being kept for all of time, but I, Shleima Melech, are not on that level. If I, Shleima Melech, make a decree, I don't know if anyone will listen to me, and certainly no guarantee they will listen to me for eternity. Dova Achir, another explanation. V'shabeach ani v'goymer k'drav Yehuda Amarav. to explain that what the praise that Shlomo HaMelech gave to those who are not alive anymore is will be understood in accordance with what Rabbi Yehuda Omar Rav said. Rabbi Yehuda Omar Rav said as follows: "May dichsiv, this that it says in the pasuk, asei imi ois letoiva v'yiru soinai v'yevoishu." That David HaMelech implored to Hashem, he said to Hashem, "Give me a sign for good that my enemies will see and they will be ashamed." What does that mean? David HaMelech was saying to Hashem, "Ribbono shel Olam, Hashem, mechil li al oisei avim, forgive me for that avera, the story with Bathsheba." Omar loy, "Mechil lecha, I forgive you for the avera of Bathsheba." Omar loy, so David then said to Hashem, "Asei imi ois bechayoi, give me a sign in my lifetime that indeed you've forgiven me." Omar loy, Hashem said to David HaMelech, "Bechayecho eini moidia, I'm not going to give you a sign, I'm not going to let you know, at least publicly, whilst you're still alive. B'chaye Shlomo bincho ani moidia, but however, in the lifetime of your son Shlomo, I'm going to publicize the fact that I have forgiven you for the avera of Bathsheba." Let's see what happens in the time of Shlomo HaMelech, where Hashem showed everybody and showed all David HaMelech's enemies that Hashem had actually forgiven David for that avera. Kushabono Shlomo's Beis Hamikdash, when Shlomo HaMelech built the Beis Hamikdash, Bikesh Lehachnis Orin the Beis Kodesh HaKadoshim, he wanted to bring the Orin HaKodesh with the Luchos in into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, where it was supposed to be. Dovku Sh'orim Zeh Bazeh, the Sh'orim, the gates of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, they clung to each other. They were locked shut. They could not be opened. And there's a discussion, where do we find that the Kodesh HaKadoshim had gates? But either way, there were some doors and some gates that stopped Shlomo HaMelech being able to bring the Orin into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Omer Shlomo, Esrim v'arba renonis. Shlomo HaMelech, he said a song where he had 24 expressions of tefillah in it. In the parasha of Shlomo HaMelech there's 24 different expressions. V'lo inane, he was not answered. The gates stayed shut. He could not bring the Orin into the Beis HaMikdash. Posach v'omer. So Shlomo HaMelech said something else. What did he say? Se'u she'orim rosheichem, the gates, open up your heads. V'hinosu pischei olam, and the entrances that are going to be eternal should be uplifted, should open up, should lift up. V'yovoi melech ha'kovoid, and the king of kovoid, of glory, should enter. Rohatu basrei lemivlei, the gates, so to speak, ran after Shlomo HaMelech, threatening to swallow him. They thought that he was telling them to open up for the Melech HaKovid, referring to himself, that he was the King of Glory. Omer Luhu, Omru, the gates said to Shlomo HaMelech, "Mi ze Melech HaKovid? Who is this King of Glory you're talking about? Are you talking about yourself?" Omer Luhu, Shlomo said, "No, Chas v'Sholom, Hashem Izuz v'Giboyer. I'm referring to Hashem, who is mighty and strong." Chozar v'Omer, Shlomo HaMelech continued and said again, "Se'u she'orim rosheichem, gates, lift up your heads, u'se'u pischei oilom v'yovei melech ha'kovoid, and the entrances should open up for the King of Glory." Mihu ze melech ha'kovid, who is the King of Glory I'm referring to? Hashem Tzavokis, who melech ha'kovid tzelo, it's Hashem who is the King of Glory forever. V'lo inane, and nonetheless the tefillah was not answered and the gates remained shut. Kiven Shaoma, when Shlomo HaMelech said one more sentence, Hashem Elohim, Hashem our God, al toshev pnei mashichecho, do not turn away from your anointed one. Zochro lechazdei David avdecho, remember the piety of my father David HaMelech, who was your servant. Miyad nano, immediately Shlomo HaMelech was answered, and the doors opened up. Ba'isa Shah, at that moment, at that time, nefku pnei kol soinei David, the faces of all David HaMelech's enemies, and their whole, David HaMelech's whole life, they were saying, "You're a Rasha, you did an Avera," they were dancing on his blood. But at this point, the faces of the enemies of David turned kashulei kadeira. They turned dark like the bottom of a pot in embarrassment because they suddenly realized Hashem had forgiven David HaMelech. V'yod u kol ha'om And all of the nation, v'chol Yisrael, and all of Klal Yisrael knew, Shemochal lo yakodesh baruch hu al oisei ovoin, that Hashem had forgiven David HaMelech for that Aveira. V'lo yofa omo Shleima, is Shleima not correct for saying, v'shabeach ani es ameisim shekvar choyu, that I praise the dead who have already died, that David HaMelech, who is no longer alive, Hashem is now showing him that, showing the whole world that he was a tzaddik and his tshuva was accepted, something he did not manage to do when he was alive. So there's something obviously that David HaMelech was deserving of after he died that he was not deserving of whilst he was still alive, and that's this sign that was made public that Hashem had forgiven him. V'hainu d'chsiv, and this is what it says in the pasuk, b'yoyim ha'shmini, on the eighth day, shilach es ha'om, he dismissed the people, vayivorchu es ha'melech, and they gave a bracha, they blessed the king. Vayilchu l'olem, they went back to their tents, smeichim joyously v'tuvei leiv, and very glad of heart. Al kol ha'tovo ashas osa Hashem, for all the goodness that Hashem had done, l'david avdei, for David ha'melech, even though this was not a day that David ha'melech was alive, this was the day that the Aron HaKodesh came into the Kodesh Kadoshim. No, this was a day that Hashem did a tremendous service, so to speak, to David HaMelech. The David Avdo Ul Yisrael Amo into Klal Yisrael, his people, then everybody now knew that Hashem had forgiven David HaMelech. Says the Gemara, referring to this Pasuk, Vayilchu L'Olem, when it says that Klal Yisrael, they went back to their tents, Shemotzu Nesheseim Betara, they found their wives were Tohir. Smeichim, what does it mean that they were glad? Shenenu Meziv Ashchina, they were delighted in the radiance of the Divine Presence. V'tuvei Leiv, when it says that they were glad of heart, what does that mean? Shenisabru Nesheseim Shel Kol Echod V'Echod, that when the men came back home, and they were with their wives, and their wives conceived each one v'yoldo zochor, and they had a baby boy after that. Each and every one of those families bore a baby boy. Al kol ha'tova she'osu Hashem leDavid avdoi. What does it mean that they praised Hashem for all the goodness that Hashem had done for David HaMelech? It means shemocha lo yalo yisei ovin, exactly like we just said. Hashem showed everyone that he had forgiven David HaMelech. Uli Yisrael Amoy, when it says that they praised Hashem for the goodness he did for Klal Yisrael, his people, the Ochir Lehu Avoin Di Yom HaKippurim, he forgave them for the sin of eating on Yom Kippur. When Shlomo HaMelech was making the Beis HaMikdash, at one point he told them they could all eat on Yom Kippur, and here Hashem made it clear to them that he was okay with what they did and it was not considered an Aveira. We mentioned before that Rav Tanchum said that there were seeming inconsistencies within what Shlomo HaMelech had written. That in one place he says, Meshabeach ani es hameisim, in another place he says, Ki lekelev chai hu toiv min ari hameis. So we now have to understand, what does it mean that a live dog is better than a dead lion? In what context does that ring true? Says the Gemara, Utuka'oma Shlomo, Ki lekelev chai hu toiv min ari hameis, could Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, we can explain it according to something Rav Yehuda Amar Rav said. The Omer Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, my dichsiv, this that it says in the Pasuk in Tehillim, Hoydi'eini Hashem Kitzi, Hashem, let me know my end, Umidas Yomai Mahi, and the measure of my days, what is it? Eido me chodil oni, and may I know when I will cease, when I will pass away. Omar David lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem said to David HaMelech said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ribbono shel Olam, Hoydi'eini Hashem Kitzi, let me know my end. Omar Lo, Hashem answered him, Gzeirahi milafonai, there's a decree that has been issued from before me, She'ein moidin kitzoi shel basov adam, that a person is never allowed to know when his end is going to be. Umidas yomai mahi, when David HaMelech continued and he asked, tell me the measure of my days, what does that mean? It means, tell me how long I will live. Hashem answered, Gzeirahi milafonai, she'ein moidin midas yomov shel odom, that a person is not allowed to know the measure of his days. And when David HaMelech continued and said, Ve'eido mo chodal oni, me chodel oni, and let it know when I will cease, which means at least tell me what day of the week I'm going to pass away. Omar lo, he Hashem answered him, B'Shabbos Tomus. This piece of information I can give you, you're going to pass away on Shabbos. David HaMelech said, Omus be'echot b'Shabbos. He davened to Hashem and said, let me pass away on Echod b'Shabbos, on a Sunday. Omar lo, Hashem said, no. Kvar higia malchus Shlomo bincha. Since the time, the exact time when your son Shlomo has to become the king is on the Shabbos, ve'ein malchus noigas b'chaver tafilu kamaloi nimo. The reign of one king does not overlap, does not encroach upon the reign of another ruler, even by the breadth of a hair. And since Shlomo has to start becoming a king on Shabbos, you have to pass away on Shabbos and not on Sunday. Rashi explains the reason David HaMelech did not want to pass away on Shabbos is because you cannot bury somebody on Shabbos, and he wanted to be buried immediately after he passed away. Continues the Gemara, almost by Erev Shabbos, let me die on Erev Shabbos. Omar Eloi, Hashem said, no. Kitoiv yoim bechatzirecho me'olef. There's a pasuk that says that one day in your court is better than 1,000. What does it mean? Toiv li yoim echod she'ato yoshiv oisik b'Torah. I prefer a single day that you sit and are engaged in Torah learning. Me'elef oilois, more than 1,000 korban oilois and oila offerings. She'osid Shlomo bincho lehakriv lefone al gabe mizbeach, that your son Shlomo is going to offer on the mizbeach in the Beis Hamikdash. One day is so precious to me, says Hashem. I don't want to take you away on Friday if the time that you're supposed to pass away is on Shabbos. Let's see what actually transpired. Kol yoimo deshabta have yosi vigoris kula yoimo. From that point on, and David HaMelech did not know when this Shabbos would be, but he knew that at some point he would pass away on Shabbos. So every single Shabbos, have a Yosef Goris Kula Yoma, he would spend the entire day engaged in Torah learning. And he knew that a person who's engaged in Torah, the Yetzer Hara can't come anywhere near him. Hahu Yoma Deboye Lemeinach Nafshe. On that day, on that Shabbos, that the time had come that David HaMelech was supposed to pass away from the world, Kom Malach HaMoves Kamei. The Malach HaMoves stood in front of David HaMelech. V'lo yochidle, since he was learning Torah, he couldn't overcome him. He couldn't take away his neshama. D'lo have a posik pumei megirsa, because his mouth didn't cease to say Torah for a single moment. Omar, ma evidle. So the Malach HaMoves said, what can I do to David HaMelech? I can't take him away. He's sitting engaged in Torah learning. Havelei bustono achire beisa. David HaMelech happened to have an orchard at the back of his house, behind his home. Also, Malach HaMoves, the Malach HaMoves went solik, and he ascended onto one of the trees. Ubochish b'ilone, he shook the branches of the tree to make a noise. Nofak lemirze, David HaMelech was wondering what's the noise. He went out to see what was going on in the orchard. And let's remember, all this time his mouth was speaking Torah. He didn't stop learning Torah. Have a solik bedarga. When he was going up the stairs, ifchis darga mitusei, there was one of the stairs gave way under him, under David HaMelech. Ishtik, and for one moment his mouth ceased to say Torah words. V'noch nafshei, and at that moment he passed away. Sholach Shlomo lebei midrasha. After Shlomo HaMelech saw that his father David HaMelech had passed away, and it was Shabbos Kodesh, he sent the following two questions to the Beis HaMedrash. Abba meis umutal b'chama. My father has passed away, and his body is laying in the sun, and a dead body is mukta. What can we do? A second question he asked, uklovim shel beis abba ra'evim. The dogs that my father used to feed, David HaMelech had dogs, and it was incumbent on him to feed them. David HaMelech was not alive. The dogs did not belong to Shlomo HaMelech. Let's assume that way. Then Shlomo HaMelech was not allowed to feed the dogs. You're not allowed to feed animals that don't belong to you. So he said, what should I do? The dogs of my father are hungry. Mo'ese, what should I do? Shol Chulei, the Chachomim of the Beis HaMedrash sent the answers back to Shlomo HaMelech. Chatoich nevela v'hanoch lefnei aklovim. You're allowed to cut up a carcass, a piece of meat, cut it up, even though this meat, you're not really allowed to feed the dogs on Shabbos, but because it's tzar balei chaim, and there's no one else who can do it, you're allowed to take a piece of nevela, chop it up, cut it up, and lay it in front of the hungry dogs. V'avicha. But as far as your father David HaMelech's body is concerned, hanach olav kikor oitinoik, you can put either a loaf of bread or a little child on top of him, v'telteloi, and then you can carry it to a shaded area, but you're not allowed to move the David HaMelech on his own right. You're only allowed to move him because he is holding, so to speak, a loaf of bread which is not mukta, or a child that's not mukta. So is it not right what Shlomo HaMelech said? Ki lekelef chai hu toiv min arye hameis, that a live dog is better than a dead lion. The lion, with all its majesty, but if it's dead, it's less than a live dog. The live dogs that were hungry allowed you to touch a corpse of an animal in order to feed them, but a dead lion, but David HaMelech's body, you were not allowed to move it unless you had a child or a loaf of bread on top of it. So you see that the live dogs are more than a dead lion. As far as the question that I asked you, whether you're allowed to extinguish a candle to help somebody who's seriously ill, and the truth is, I didn't ask you. This is Rav Tanchim talking. They asked him. But he was very, very humble. Instead of saying, you asked me a question, he, in humble humility, he said, the question I asked you, you want to know what the halach is? Neir kruya neir. We know that a candle is called neir. V'nishmosei shel adam, a person's neshama, is kruya neir, is also called a candle. It's a pasuk. Neir Hashem nishmas adam. Mutav tich ben neir shel basav adam, rather to extinguish a physical candle, mipnei neir shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in order to save that a neshama given by Hashem should not be extinguished. Continues the Gemara. Omar of Yehuda Bereider of Shmuel Bar Shilas Mishmeider Rav. Bikshu Chachomim Lignoiz Sefer Keheles. The Chachomim wanted to hide the book of Keheles. Mipnei Shedvarov Soisrim Zeze. There are seeming contradictions in them, in it. Omipnei Ma Lo Ignozu. Why, in fact, did they not hide Keheles? Mipnei Shedchilosoi Divrei Torah Vesoifri Divrei Torah. Because the beginning of Keheles speaks about Divrei Torah, the end of Keheles refers to Divrei Torah, and since the beginning and end is Torah, it's not kedai that one should hide it. Tchilasoi Divrei Torah. What's the Tchilasoi Divrei Torah? The Chassid, it says at the beginning of Keheles, Ma Yisroin Laodom Bechol Amolui Shi'amil Tachas Hashemesh. What profit, what gain does a person have with the labor that he toils under the sun? V'omru Debeir of Yanai, and in the yeshiva of Rav Yanai, they said as follows, Tachas HaShemesh Hu De'ein Loi, that a person has no gain, no profit from his toil under the Shemesh, Koidem Shemesh, but what precedes the sun, what's before the sun, Yesh Loi, he has profit from it. And what is that? That's the Torah. The Torah was around before the sun was, and this is a Gemara in Psochim, that even before the 6 days of creation, the Torah was already in existence. Soifri Divrei Torah. What's the end of Keheles that refers to Divrei Torah? The Chassid, it says at the end of Keheles, Soif Dovar Hakil Nishma. That to end it all off, the end of the day, when all is considered, Es Elikim Yara, you should fear Hashem, Ves Mitzvos of Shemoyer, and you should do his mitzvahs, Kizeh Kol HaOdom. This is everything that man is. That's what we are for. Mai kizeh kol ha'odom. What does it mean that this is all what Odom is? Omer b'Eliezer, kol ha'olam kulo iloy nivra elo bishvil zeh. The entire world was only created for this person, who is a Yirei Shamayim doing the mitzvahs. Rabbi Abba Bar Kano Omer, shokul zeh k'neged kol ha'olam kuloy. This person who's a Yirei Shamayim is equal to the entire world. Shimon ben Azai Omer,
Va'omri lo Shimon ben Zayma imir, either it was Shimon ben Azai or Shimon ben Zayma. They said, lo nivra kolo ilam kuloi, the whole world was only created, elo letzavos lezeh, to accompany this person. And it seems that the Gemara means that soifo divrei Torah, this last pasuk we just discussed, which says, soif dovar hakol nishmo es elukim yiro, ve'es mitzvosav shomoyer, ki zeh kol adam, this elukim yiro, fearing of Hashem, ve'es mitzvosav shomoyer, and keeping his mitzvahs, that is soifo divrei Torah. It's a pasuk that's telling us to make sure that we learn and keep the Torah. And since the beginning is Divrei Torah and the end is Divrei Torah, it's comfortable to assume that everything in between is also Divrei Torah. And since the whole Keheles is about Torah, it does not deserve to get hidden. Continues the Gemara, Umay Dvorov Soisrim Ze'ezeh. You said that the reason that the Keheles, they were thinking of hiding Keheles, is because there are seeming contradictions in them. What are the seeming contradictions in Keheles? Says the Gemara, Ksiv toiv kas mischoik. Anger is better than laughter. Uchsiv, and another pasuk it says, Lischoik omarti mohilol. That I have said about laughter that it is praiseworthy. In the first pasuk it says that anger is better than laughter, which seems to be that laughter is not such a positive thing. And afterwards it says that laughter is praiseworthy. Another seeming contradiction, Ksiv. In one pasuk it says, "V'shibachti ani es ha-simcha." I have praised joy. Uchsiv, in another pasuk it says, "Ulasimcha maze oisa." And of joy I have said, what does it accomplish? What's it good for? So there's a contradiction. Is simcha a good thing that's worthy of praise, or is it something that's useless? Says the Gemara Loikashia, "Toiv kas mischoik." When it says that anger is better than laughter, what does that mean? Toiv kas shekoyes HaKadosh Baruch Hu al HaTzadikim ba'olam hazeh. It is better to experience the anger that Hashem expresses towards the tzadikim in this world, mischoik shemesachik HaKadosh Baruch Hu al HaRashoyim ba'olam hazeh. It's better than the laughter that Hashem, so to speak, is showing towards the wicked in this world, that he's showing them as if everything is good, he's giving them a good time. The laughter that Hashem is allowing the Rishoyim to experience is very much to their disadvantage, because it's a little bit of reward they're getting for their mitzvahs. When they get to the world to come, they'll have no credit. The tzaddikim, the anger Hashem is showing towards them in this world, is the punishment for the few averus they may have done, and when they get into the next world, they'll have a clean slate. Continues the Gemara. The pasuk that says that I have given praise to schoik, to laughter, ze schoik shemasachik hakadosh baruch hu im tzadikim ba'olam haba. That the schoik, the laughter that Hashem is going to give to tzadikim in olam haba, that is clearly a laughter that's worthy of praise. So the Gemara has explained one seeming contradiction. In one place it says toiv kas mischoik. The Gemara explained that talking about the kas to tzadikim rather than the schoik to rishoyim, referring to this world. And the pasuk of the schoik of maratim ha'ilol is the schoik of the tzadikim in olam haba. Now we're going to go to the second seeming contradiction regarding simcha. V'shibachti ani es ha-simcha. What joy is worthy of praise? Simcha shel mitzvah. It's the joy that's associated to doing a mitzvah. U'l'simcha maza oisa. But when I said that simcha is useless and doesn't accomplish anything, zu simcha she'eino shel mitzvah, any joy that's not associated in some way to a mitzvah is useless and accomplishes nothing. Lelamdoch says the Gemara, she'ein shechino shoyro lo mitoich atzvos, the shechina, the divine presence, does not rest upon anyone if that person is in atzvos, is depressed, is in gloom, v'lo mitoich atzlos, and not if he's in a state of laziness, and not if he's in a state of levity, and not if he's light-headed, and not through idle chatter, and not through speaking words, idle conversation. The Shechina rests on a person through the joy associated to a mitzvah. Shenemar, as it says in the pasuk, Ve'ata kachu li Elisha, he wanted to feel the presence of Hashem, and he knew that that would only happen if he's besimcha. So what did he do? He went out of his way to do something that would bring him simcha. He said, Kachuli menagin, bring me a musician. V'hoyo kenagin amenagin, when the musician was playing his music, v'atehi olav yad Hashem, Hashem's hands rested upon him. And since this is a simcha, the music caused the simcha, and the reason that he brought himself to this simcha was in order to feel the shechina, therefore this simcha is called simcha shel mitzvah, and indeed the shechina rested upon him. Continues the Gemara, Omer of Yehuda, v'chein l'dvar halacha, so too when it comes to teaching Torah, to dvar halacha, then simcha is a very important tool, is something that must accompany one's Torah. Omer Rava, v'chein l'chaloim toiv, it's also good for a dream. If a person wants to have good dreams, he should go to sleep in a state of happiness. Continues the Gemara, Eini, are you trying to say that learning Torah should be done in a state of simcha? If Omer of Gidlo Marav, did Rav Gidl not say in the name of Rav that called Talmud Chochem Sheyeshu Lifnei Rabbi? Any Talmud, a scholar who's sitting in front of his Rebbe learning Torah, V'ein Sif Soysov Noit Fois Moir, and his lips do not drip with bitter dread, which means that he has a tremendous awe and fear of his Rebbe, Tichveno, he will be singed by the fires of Gehenim. Shenemar, as it says in the Pasuk, Siv Soysov Sheishanim, his lips are like roses, Noit Fois Moir Oiver, they are dripping with Moir Oiver. So Moir Oiver means a flowing type of besomim. Al tikri moir oiver, says the Gemara, but you can read it differently. Not moir oiver, which would mean flowing moir, this besomim. Rather, you should read it elo mar oiver, which is a passing bitterness. Al tikri shoishanim, do not read it shoishanim, which is roses. Rather, elo sheshoinim. Sheshoinim means that they are learning, they are studying. So reading that posuk, it says, Sif soysov sheshoinim, lips that are learning Torah, noit fois mar oivir. They should experience a passing bitterness. A bitterness is referring to an awe, a certain fear of their Rebbe, or of the Limud HaTorah. We'll soon see exactly who it's referring to. So how can you say that Divrei Torah have to be learned with simcha? They have to be learned with a certain level of bitterness. Says the Gemara Lo Kasha. We can answer that. Halber Rabbah, Halber Talmud. The Rebbe, he should be teaching with tremendous joy. The Talmidim, who are learning from their Rebbe, have to have a tremendous feeling of awe and fear of their Rebbe, and therefore with them, the emotion that's more felt is one of Mar Oiver, and not one of Simcha. V'Iboiseima, a different answer to this problem. Halber Rabbah, it could be that both are referring to the Rebbe. V'lei kasha, nonetheless, it's not a contradiction. Ha mikamei de liftach. Before Rebbe starts teaching, when he starts, he comes into the classroom, he comes into the shiur room, he's starting to give a lecture, a shiur, he should be full of simcha. Ha lebosor de posach. But after he started teaching, he should have a certain level of fear and awe to make sure that he's teaching everything exactly the way he should. Ki ha de Rabbe, and this is illustrated by what Rabbi used to do, Mikamei de Pasach lu Rabbanon, before he would start teaching the Talmidim, Omar Milsa de Bdichusa, he would say something humorous, something that would bring simcha. Ubotcha Rabbanon and the Chachomim, the Talmidim, they used to laugh. Lesoif Yosef Be'emase, but afterwards when he would start teaching, he would sit with Eimo, with trepidation, Uposach Shmeitza, and start beginning to give his shir. Continues the Gemara. V'af Sefer Mishlei Bikshu Lignois. The truth is that also Sefer Mishlei, the Chachomim were considering hiding it, Shehoyu Dvaro Soisim Ze'ezeh, because there are seeming contradictions in it. Mipnei Ma Lo Ignozuhu. Why did they not hide Sefer Mishlei? Says the Gemara, Omri, the Chachomim said to themselves, Sefer Koheles, Lav Einin V'ashkichinon Tuva. When we debated, when we were considering hiding Keheles because of the contradictions, we were very much ma'ayan. We looked carefully, we studied carefully Keheles, and we found a resolution, we found an answer to all the contradictions. Hachanami, so too, regarding Mishli, it's comfortable to assume that if La'ayon, let us study Mishli well and be Ma'ayon well, and we'll see that this, what seems to be a contradiction, in truth, is not a contradiction. Says the Gemara, Umay Dvar of Soisum Zezeh, what are the seeming contradictions in Sefer Mishli? Ksiv, in one posuk it says, Al ta'an ksil ki'ivaltoi, do not answer a fool according to his foolishness, to his folly. Ursiv, but in the next posuk it says, Anei ksil ki'ivaltoi, answer a fool according to his foolishness, according to his folly. This seems to be a contradiction. Says the Gemara Lo Kasha, Halba Divrei Torah, regarding Divrei Torah, if a fool asks a question, even though he's a fool and his question is foolish, answer him. Halba Mila de Alma, but if it's concerning general matters and he's asking a foolish question, then it's not advisable to answer the fool back. Another Gemara is going to illustrate this. There was a certain person who came before Rebbe. Omar Lehi said to him, Ishtecha Ishti, really your wife is my wife. Ubonecha Bonai, and your children are really my children. Which is a foolish thing. It's nothing to do with nothing in Torah there. Omar Lehi, how did Rebbe respond? Rebbe didn't get into a discussion with him and answer him directly to his claim. He just said, would you like to drink a glass of wine? Shosa upoka. This person accepted the wine, he drank the wine, and poka, his stomach burst, and he died. A similar story, Ahuda also lekameidu Reb Chia. A person came before Reb Chia. Omar Lehi said to him, Imcha ishti, your mother is my wife, v'ata bni, and you are really my child. Omar Lehi, Reb Chia said to him, didn't answer him to the point. He just said, would you like to drink a cup of wine? He accepted. Shosa, he drank upoka, and he burst, and he died. We'll soon see in the Gemara, but it's apparent that both stories happened with Rebbe, not the second one being Reb Chia, even though in our version of the Gemara it says Reb Chia. In both stories, the fool, the person that approached Rebbe, or Reb Chia, whoever it was, and started speaking about whose wife was whose, the indication of their question was clearly accusing them that there was something wrong with their yichus and the yichus of their children. And now the Gemara is going to be Mesiachus, so it's going to speak about that. And Omer Reb Chia commented and said, Ahanyo leitzleisa l'Rebbe, the tefillah that Rebbe would daven is what saved him, d'loy l'shavya b'nei mamzera, in order that his children should not be considered mamzerim. What this person was suggesting was that Rebbe or his children were mamzerim. The Rebbe ki have a matzli, Omar, when Rebbe would daven to his personal tefillah, what would he say? He would say, Hirotim milfanecho Hashem elekeinu, may it be your will, Hashem. Shetatzileini ayoyim, you should save me today. Me'azei ponim, or me'azus ponim. You should save me from brazen people that they should not harm me, and save me from Azus Ponim. Azus Ponim is a term used for Mamzerus. Save me that nobody should be able to accuse me or my children of being Mamzerim. And that tefillah stood him in good cause, that when these foolish people came to Rebbe and accused him, that he gave them to drink some wine and they died. Continues the Gemara. B'divrei Torah Mahi. Where do we find that even though a fool is asking a foolish question, but since it's concerning Divrei Torah, that one should answer them? Kiha de Yosef Reb Gamliel v'Kadorish. Reb Gamliel was sitting and was teaching Torah, and he said as follows, Asido isha she'teilid b'chol yoim. When Mashiach comes, a woman is going to bear a new child every single day. Shenemer, as it says in the Pasuk, Hora, she will conceive, v'yoyledes yachtov, and she'll give birth together. It wouldn't be a 9-month wait between conception and birth. Ligleg olav oisa talmid. This certain talmid, who was obviously a fool, he laughed at him. And he said, Ein kol chodosh tachas ha-shomesh. Can that really be? There's no new things. There's never anything new under the sun. Omaloi, Reb Gamliel answered him. He didn't just brush him away. Reb Gamliel says, Boi ve'erecho dugmosan bo'ilam hazeh. It's not something new. I'll show you an example of that even today before Mashiach comes. Nofak achvolei tarnagoyles. Reb Gamliel went out and showed him a hen. A hen lays a new egg every single day. So today humans don't have that privilege. When Mashiach comes, humans will be the same as the hens, and a woman will give birth every single day. V'su yosi Reb Gamliel v'kodoresh. And again, Reb Gamliel was sitting and teaching Torah, and he said, Asidim ilonois shemitzin peiros b'chol yoim. Trees are going to bear fruit every day. Shenemar, as it says in the Pasuk, V'nosa onof, and I shall bring forth the branches, V'osa peri, and bear fruit, that every day the branches would bear fruit. Me onof b'chol yoim, just as a tree regularly brings out new branches every day, af pri kol yoim, so too there will be fruits on those branches every single day. Something we don't have today. We see branches being renewed every day. We do not see fruits, new fruits, growing every day. Ligle galavoyse talmid, and again, one of the foolish talmidim laughed at him. Omar, and he said, V'hoksivin kol chodosh tachas hashamesh. The Pasuk says there's nothing new under the sun. Omar, again, Reb Gamliel responded to him and said, Boiv erecho dugmosam bo'ilum hazeh. I'll come and I'll show you an example of that in this world, even before Mashiach comes. Nofak, he went out, achvelet slaf, he showed him a certain tree or a certain bush called a tzlaf, and that plant brings fruits even today very, very quickly, almost every day or every day, new fruits come from this tzlaf. And Reb Gamliel told him that today only the tzlaf bush brings fruits like this so often, and when Mashiach comes, all the trees, all the fruit trees will be giving out fruits every day. V'su Yosef Reb Gamliel v'kodorish, and again Reb Gamliel was sitting and was teaching Torah, and he said, Asido Eretz Yisrael shetoitzi gruskois uklei milos. When Mashiach comes, the land of Eretz Yisrael is going to bring forth bread rolls, not like today that wheat gets grown and we have to harvest it and do all the long process till we have bread. No, when Mashiach comes, there's the earth, the land is going to give out bread rolls and fine woolen clothes called melas. Shenemar, as it says in the Pasuk, Yehi pisas bar b'oretz. There will be a pisas bar coming from the land. And Rashi explains that pisas bar, the word pisas, could have two types of translations, and it's not pshat, it's a drasha. One is that it's pisas yad, is referring to the palm of a hand, and bread rolls are typically the size of the palm of one's hand. So when it says Yehi pisas bar b'oretz, it means the land are going to give out bread rolls. Pisas bar also has some connotation or some reference to the ksoines pasim, to a cloak that Yaakov Avinu gave his son Yosef HaTzadik. And the same pisas bar is saying that there's some very elegant clothes that's going to be come forth from the oretz, and this was the source that the earth is going to bring forward fine woolen clothes. Says the Gemara here too, Ligleig olov oisa talmid. This talmid, this fool, laughed at Reb Gamliel, Va'omar, and said, In kol chodosh tachas hashemesh, where do we find the land is producing bread rolls and clothes? Omalei, Reb Gamliel says, Boi v'erechot dugmoson bo'i lemazeh. Again, I'll show you an example in today's world that we know of such a phenomenon. Nofak, he went out, achvele kamehin upitrios. He showed him mushrooms and truffles, and these are plants that grow very quickly. They mature overnight, and the round-shaped mushrooms are similar to those of bread rolls. And in the same way as mushrooms can just form and mature overnight, so too the land could give out bread rolls. V'akle melas Navro Barakira. And as far as the clay melas, the proof, an example today of the land giving out something similar to the fine woolen clothes, Navro Barakira, he showed him the bast of a young palm heart. And this palm heart, which is encased with a bast, is got a very wooden type of material or type of texture that covers it, and it comes forth from the earth. So you see that the earth is capable of giving forth even this material type of substance. And this is an example of what's going to be when Mashiach comes, that fine woolen clothes will come up from the land. In Mirtz Hashem, in our next year, we're going to carry on from here.